Welcome to the Connected Mom Podcast, where we have real conversations to help you connect more deeply with God, more empathically with your fellow moms, and more intentionally with your child. I'm Becky Harling, your host. And, you know, in my life, there have been ups and downs in the journey of motherhood. I have shared before that I am a cancer survivor. And, you know, those unexpected things can drive us either deeper in our relationship with God or farther away. And you are in for an incredible treat today because my guest today is Helen Smallbone. As you may or may not know, the movie Unsung Hero is going to come out in just a couple of weeks. And I was privileged to see a preview of the movie, like an advanced showing of the movie. And it's incredible. And for those of you moms out there who feel like you're not making a difference, I really want to encourage you to lean in and listen today because you are in for a treat. So Helen is the mother of 7 kids. She's a grandmother, which we'll get into, I'm sure, because that is always a delight in us mama's hearts. But lots of her kids are in the music industry. So she is the mom of Rebecca St. James. She is the mom of the 2 men who sing for King and Country. And she is the hero of the story. And she's written her own book. We'll put all that in the show notes. But I kind of want to just dive right in here, Helen. So first, tell me how many grandkids you have, because that's always important.
That's great. We are about to be outnumbered. We're 15 adults as we speak, as one of our kids has not been married. And we are about to be outnumbered with kids. In June, our 16th grandchild will be born.
Oh, you are ahead of me. So I have 14 grandchildren.
Okay.
And it's so fun, isn't it? I mean, it brings a whole new delightfulness to life. So Helen, in the movie, your faith comes out incredibly strong, and you really are the unsung hero of the movie. But I want to hear, like, what's God doing right now in Helen's life? What scripture is God speaking to you right now?
I think the scripture that really stands out to me the moment and probably has become my life verse, but God, I'm seeing it more evident even today than, you know, go back a few months. And that is Ephesians 3:20. And it's God can do much, much more. This is my paraphrase, but God can do much, much more than anything you can ask or imagine for his glory and through his strength. And I think that I'm seeing that being lived out right now. I'm a stay-at-home mum. I've been a full-time mum for 32, do you ever stop being a full-time mum?
Nope.
But I've been an active, hands-on mum for 32 years. So I deem myself as a professional mum. And I trained as an occupational therapist, practiced for about 18 months, but my heart was to be a wife and a mum. And God has fulfilled that very strongly. And frankly, I didn't really expect, I'm 69 years old, I didn't really expect to be doing anything but sort of loving on kids and grandkids and, I don't know, having a few hobbies of my own at this stage of life. And God has given me a platform. He has opened doors. He is using this movie to open doors. And frankly, I would prefer to probably be in the background than to doing all this other stuff. But you follow where God leads.
Yeah, you do. And, it's really amazing because I, like you, am in my 60s. And as we travel through life and after we've raised our kids, we think, okay, we're going to wind down now. And sometimes God just says, nope, that's not the plan.
Yeah.
I've got a different one for you.
Yeah, well, I do believe if you have breath in your lungs, then you have a purpose on this earth. And for whatever that looks like, it may be as simple as praying for people, well, as simple, as profound as praying for people that you love or the people that God puts in your life. But we have a purpose if we have breath in our lungs.
Absolutely. I agree with you. So let's go to that topic of prayer because that comes out strongly in the movie. And, I happen to believe, and I'm sure you do too, that probably one of the absolute greatest gifts we can give our kids and our grandkids is to be praying for them and to be praying scripture over them. I love that you mentioned Ephesians 3:20, because that's one of my favorite scriptures to pray over my kids and my grands. And in the movie, you do a lot with prayer. In fact, one of my favorite scenes in the movie is where the kids have this kind of prayer wall, and they put what they've asked for and then what they've received. Talk to us about the prayer wall.
Well, the prayer wall was actually a visual of expression of what we did do in the home during those years. When we came to America, we came from Australia. We came in 1991. When we arrived in America, we had had a huge big business reversal. We were looking for a new path, but we had nothing. We came with 16 suitcases. We had six kids at the time. I was pregnant with number seven. Mm. And frankly, Beck, when you're faced with life's hard times, and you will be sooner or later, because they come to every single one of us, it shows you who you really are. It shows you what your core foundation is. And for us at that time, all we had was God and each other. And so God became even probably more important, more focused than ever before, because if we had not seen miracles, and often we saw miracles on a day-by-day basis, but if we had not seen miracles, that time of our lives would have been so hard, we just couldn't have done it, and we would have had to turn around and go home to Australia.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's interesting with miracles, because in order to see the miracles, there first has to be the really hard thing.
That's correct. You have to need a miracle.
Right. And I think a lot of people want the miracle. They just don't want the situation that causes the need for the miracle.
Well, I think that's human nature, actually. I think that's probably something for all of us. We don't actually want to. We want miracles. We want to see God in action, but we don't want the pain and the hardship and the and sometimes suffering in order to really see that. But I think as we gathered in the living room, we had no furniture in our house at the time, and we gathered in the living room as a family, and we prayed for specific needs. And it was those prayers for specific needs, which I think God wants us to pray, that enabled us to see God, God's hand, each day leading and guiding us, and then to see God providing for us. And so it was a life-changing time in our lives, because you don't come to the end of your tether, lean on God, see him, and not be changed.
Yes, I so agree with that, Helen. And I love that you pulled the kids in, because I think a lot of times parents are perhaps tempted when there's a massive trial or a massive, you know, hard thing to just kind of pray together as a couple, which obviously is great. But what God allows in our lives, he allows in our kids' lives, and bringing them into it and inviting them to pray, it seems to have been a huge faith builder for your kids. What did you see?
Definitely a huge faith builder, but it also was sometimes a faith builder for David and me as parents, because you know reality. I mean, kids get a glimpse, maybe a little understanding, but as parents, you know reality. You know where you're at and what's needed and whatever else. And so there are days when your faith is actually weaker, like, God, what on earth are you doing? And it will be the kids then who can encourage you. And I think you see that in the movie. You know, there's one of the sons, I think it's Luke actually, who sees on the prayer needs side cheap. We've just realized there's coupons, and he changes it to, you know, thank you. So what I love is that when you're praying for specific needs with your kids, each of you are looking for God's hand. Each of you are looking for God's step. And frankly, in that scene, as an adult, I think we would have missed it, that God had provided. It took a child to see that God had actually answered our prayer, and that the cheap could go to the other side. And so you know, it is, I love walking life hand in hand with others. I love walking life hand in hand with family. I'll share one thing that David and I have started doing. When COVID started, we've both lost all our parents now. We both came from very strong Christian homes. And over our busy years of raising kids and even with Rebecca's ministry and traveling so much, we were very aware of our parents' prayers for us. And I would say that our parents' prayers for us, we saw in action in the protection of Jesus, in the provision for Jesus and guidance on our day-by-day lives, and the fact that then all our kids came to a relationship with Jesus. That does not happen without God moving, and I believe it was our parents' prayers that enabled that. But about a few years ago, I realized that, okay, David and I are now patriarch and matriarch of this large family. We're a family of 30, including our grandkids right now. It's our time for us to give our kids and our grandkids the best gift that you can give them, and that is to pray for them. And so David and I, each night at about 9 o'clock, head up to our room, we sit, we download about our days, and then we pray. And we pray for our family first, we pray for extended family and friends, and then we pray for those who are in need. And it has not only bonded us closer as husband and wife, but it has enabled us to feel we are actively contributing into each of our children's lives by covering them in prayer. And there is no better thing, I think, at this age of our lives especially, to be doing.
Yeah, I love that. Steve and I have both been in ministry for years, and we lost his father last November. And they prayed, and he would lay, Steve's dad at 94 would lay out the pictures of all the great grandkids and pray for all of them by name, and then all the pictures of the grandkids. And, you know, and we've come to the same reality. We are now the matriarch and the patriarch, and that is a huge blessing we can give our kids. Let's go back to the movie for a minute, Unsung Hero. And I'm curious, were you on the set during the filming?
We actually had nothing to do with the movie. To tell, it's about David's and my life story, particularly moving from Australia and coming to America. It's about 4 years of our life condensed down, shown in the movie to be about two. It was our son, Luke, who was in For King and Country, who shares our parts of our story every night in concert as a part of his Compassion Talk. And Compassion is a child sponsorship organization. Yes. And so he actually sat down with a producer and said, listen, I get so many people who are amazed about our life story. I think it would make a great movie. And would you be interested? And the movie affirmed him, the producer affirmed him that he would be. And so then took a process. We had got a script writer. The script writer interviewed the family, read the book that I wrote, Behind the Lights, a couple of years ago. And then he came up with the script. And then our son, Joel, who is also in For King Country, took the script, honed it a little more, you know, refined it, added what his memories probably were. Then they were going into filming in October. I think they passed us the script, David and I, the script in September. So not a lot of time before we're about to go into production. And David started reading it and he thought, you know what? I don't think I'm even going to go there. I'm just going to trust that they've done an okay job, because I'm so loud-mouthed and strong that I might change something that should not be changed. He allowed me to read it. It's very hard. You have to be a special person to read something and be able to visualize it, what it's going to look like, how it's going to be. So there were elements that I was like, gosh, I have no, you know, like this is weird, you know. But they had definitely captured the major elements of our story. There was truth in all of it, a bit like the prayer scene. They had taken what was happening inside us and made it more visual. And that was a change, if you get what I mean. You could look at it and think, well, that's not how I reacted, or that wasn't. But it really is true. It's just that it's taking what's inside you and portraying it in a visual form. And so I just went back to them and said, listen, I be very careful. You do not take out the miraculous out of this movie. Mm. I know it can sometimes appear cheesy when you pray, you know, to sort of how do you portray God? But I said, we have to have the miraculous in this movie, because without God's miracles, without seeing God on our lives, we would not have been able to stay. We would have had to turn around and go home. And I am very, very thankful and proud that they were actually able to include God throughout the movie, faith throughout the movie, miracles in the movie, and it not actually come across as unbelievable or cheesy.
I know. They gave me a preview link so I could watch it. So my husband and I sat down and watched it, and we were both powerfully moved. And, you know, it is not a cheesy movie at all. So I want to say that right here. It is a powerful movie. And the story is powerful. And I think in each of our faith journeys, we need to be able to pass those miracles down Amen. To our kids and our grandkids, because our grandkids are living in a world today where they're going to need miracles, right?
They will.
And as we go back and we share, well, you know, the times where like you guys had nothing, and helping them to remember, hey, God came through for us. He can come through for you as well. And I think that that is so powerful. In the movie, it appears that David, your husband, went through quite a depression, you know, and who could blame him? He had lost this amazing career. He is the head of a family, you know, of a wife with seven kids. And how did his depression deepen your own prayer life?
He actually, that's the element where I was saying the internal becomes external. He actually is an optimist. You know, David, and he does not come across like that in the movie. So I take it that they understood his internal emotions and have produced those emotions a lot more externally, like so that you see them, you visually see them. I used to joke about David, and it's not totally a compliment, but I used to joke about David that if God closed the doors, David would push open a window.
That's the way my husband is.
So he's that type of person. He never says die. He'll always find a way. Yeah. And I think I knew that. So I had comfort in the fact that I knew David wouldn't give up. Now, in the movie, he does give up for, I would probably say, a period of close to a week, I would have thought. He gave up in our reality one day. Okay. And that one day was when we lost the contract with Word that was going to hopefully turn our lives around. We were going to get a $10,000 advance, and he just was overwhelmed. I just don't know what we're going to do. That was my hope. He had pinned his hope on that one thing. And when it fell through, he was just, what we're going to do? And the great thing is that even in that one day, that moment, that time, that period of time, God turned up. So, you know, we would get confirmation, I'm still here. Okay, that door shut, but I'm still here. And he looked after us. I think that day we either got a check in the mail or we got some groceries delivered on our doorstep. Something happened that made us know I'm here. And I want to share an incredible story that came from that experience that is not shown actually in the movie. We had a guy who's in the movie, Jed. His real name is John Moore. Okay. He was a songwriter here in Nashville. He took us, he has six kids. He took us under his, he was at the height of his career when we came to Nashville in 1991. He was the man who gave us the car. He was the man who we believe played for Libby to be born in the hospital. They were just caring for us in very practical ways. After we lost that deal with Word Records, John came to David and said, I want to give you the 10 grand. And David said, I can't take anything more from you, John. I just can't. Yeah. I'm at the end. I can't take anything more. Thank you for the kind offer, but I just can't. And he went away. We prayed about it. We sat with it for a bit. And David came back to him and said, listen, I have a deal. The deal means nothing right now, but I fear I will take the money if I can give something back to you. And the only thing that I can think that I can give back to you is half of Rebecca's publishing. songwriting publishing. John understood publishing. He's a songwriter. So he said, okay, I'll take it. That's a deal. Becca at that time had never written a song. She wasn't signed. It meant nothing. But John said, if I don't take that 50% from you, the record company will take it all. So I'll take it. And if I want to give it back to you, I can give it back to you sometime. Well, John did not know, see down the future, which you do not, we don't have that ability to see the future, right. Thank God. So he went on about 4 or 5 years later to take his family to be missionaries in the Ukraine. And that publishing money financially supported them to the degree of 250 to 300,000 to 400,000 over those next 10 years.
Oh, I love that. You know, so often, because we don't see what God is doing in the moment and we think, okay, am I making the right decision? And then you do it and then God takes that and uses it for his glory. That is incredible. His glory.
So we knew nothing. We saw a closed door. Yeah. We saw a disaster, but God had another plan. And I just love that. So I have looked now at closed doors a whole stack differently as, well, God's trying to get my attention here. This is not, it may view as a disaster. It's not necessarily a disaster. What is he trying to say to us? And where is he trying to lead us? So I look at a closed door now, not the view of, but as, well, where are you going? What are you doing here? And looking for his hand.
I love that so much, Helen. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Okay, we're almost out of time, but I want to ask you one more question. What is it like for you as a mom to sit in the audience and listen to Rebecca St. James sing, or to be in the audience and see your beloved boys on stage with King and Country? I mean, I love all of their music, so I can only imagine what that's like for you.
I'm a very proud mama in the most humblest, I say that very humbly. And again, it comes back to Ephesians 3:20. Yeah. I just am amazed at what God can do. You know, we are no abnormal family. We are a very average family. Uh-huh. The thing that we've managed to do, and I know God does this in all our lives, is we've endeavored to follow him and his leadership. We've endeavored to, and he's taken us on this crazy journey, and we've endeavored to continue to look for him and to follow him probably on a day-by-day basis as best we can. And I just sit back and I'm like, what God can do is unfathomable. Like he can take, like none of our kids had a music lesson. Yeah. Like, really? I mean, how did he birth these careers from just, I don't know, young kids?
He loves to do that, doesn't he?
He loves to do that.
So, man, that is such a good place for us to end. I feel like we could talk all day, but I want you as listeners to hear God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or imagine in your child's life. I know some of you are probably going through difficult times because we all go through difficult times, but hang on to Jesus, press in close and keep those prayers going up. I'm going to close us out in prayer. Helen, it has been so delightful to have you on, and we are going to have all the links in the show notes, and we want you to go out and see Unsung Hero because it will remind you, those of you that are listening, you're a mom, but you're an unsung hero when you press into Jesus. And so let me just close us out in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time together. We pray for the mama out there who is discouraged today. Help her to remember that verse in Ephesians 3:20, that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all she can ask or think. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks for joining us today. And join us again next Thursday, where we'll have another episode of the Connected Mom Podcast. And all of Helen's cool stuff will be in the show notes. And you'll be able to get her book. And do go out and see the movie. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, all you moms out there. This is Becky Harling, and I love creating resources to help you connect more empathically with your child. One of those resources is a book that I wrote called How to Listen So Your Kids Will Talk. One of the greatest skills you can cultivate, really enhance that connection with your child, is the skill of listening. So how well do you really listen? This book is loaded with practical ideas to get your kids talking and to help you as you listen. You can buy it wherever Christian books are sold. You can order it on Amazon or anywhere else. So I hope you'll get a copy of the book and put the work into listening to your child.